Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast, everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
This podcast relies entirely on supporters who help to keep us sponsor and advert-free through our community at patreon.com. You can pledge as little as $1 a month with early access to content and free giveaways. You will find a banner to our Patreon community on our website at balkanadventures.co. Thanks for helping us develop the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Balkan Adventures Podcast, the podcast where we look at the positive side of the Western Balkans and especially Bosnia and Herzegovina. So, no depressing stories about corruption, nationalism or any of that other rubbish here. In this episode, I catch up with Sheila Savanovic, who, I think, is the only Micronesian living in Southeast Europe. If I'm wrong here, then please drop me a message or an email and let me know. Sheila's story is one of adventure, and in every adventure, there are the ups and the downs. So let's crack on and meet Sheila Savanovic, a girl from the Pacific.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast.
Okay, Sheila, let's start off. You're not from Banja Luka, you're not from the Balkans. In fact, you don't even come from Europe. Western, Northern or Eastern Europe. Where do you come from?
I come from Micronesia. Micronesia, Eastern Pacific.
The proper name is the Federated States of Micronesia, yes. Right? And it's in a massive ocean north of Papua New Guinea?
Yes, right above Papua New Guinea and Australia, right somewhere below the Philippines.
How the heck did you arrive here in Southeast Europe?
That was, I think... My calculations are right. 9 years ago, coming up my 10 years actually. I studied in China, and that's where I met my husband, Vuk Savanovic. So we studied together in China, and we decided after 2-3 years, we decided to move to Banja Luka.
So this is now your home?
It's home now. You can never change your home, but once you settle down and you get roots, right now it's home.
As far as I'm aware, there's 600 islands in total, but only a few of the big ones. Which is the one that you class as home?
My dad is originally from the outer islands of Yap, whereas my mother is from, she's Chukis Phnom Penh. So that's like mainly, I'm from three of the islands in the Federated States of Micronesia.
These islands, individually, do they have their own languages?
Yes.
Do they have their own cultures?
They have totally different cultures. The lifestyle actually are just quite the same, but language and culture-wise, they're totally different. You can't compare. Yapese language, Chukis language, and the Phnom Penh language, they are massively different. They have certain words that are similar, like coconut, everybody say nu, but everything else is totally different.
So your linguist abilities then is the language of your mother, the language of your father,
and
English and Serbian,
yes,
and Chinese,
grandma.
I take it.
I learned Chinese. I'm quite forgetting it, but if I practice some more, I'll get it. Yes, I learned Chinese for 2 years.
What age did you end up leaving to go to China?
That's a really interesting story. 21, 22, right out of college. I graduated from the College of Micronesia. And during this time, this was in 2005, I guess, everybody was moving to the States. Okay, let's go to Hawaii. This is Micronesia. The Micronesian kids back home, they're all, let's go to Hawaii, Guam, the United States, let's go. Like, that's where everybody was going. I was like, no, I want to try something different. I'm going to go east. So I decided to go to China. And going to China was really difficult for me because I come from a very modest background, I would say. Luckily, they just started a program from the Chinese government, started a program where they started inviting international students for a scholarship program. And that's where I decided, okay, I'm going to apply. Whatever comes, comes. And thank God I passed everything. I was accepted. And then I just had to work for my funds, my ticket funds. I did that for 2 years. I collected enough funds and then I paid my own ticket and I went off to China.
So you bump in to this Bosnian guy. Tell us, without giving out too much of the love story away, what's yours?
My husband's name is Vuk. We were classmates, actually. We were, first day of class, we introduced ourselves. It was okay. And as the time passed by, we were actually best friends. We became best friends. We were inseparable. Like, we were just like buddies. We were like, yo, cute bro, hey sis. You know, so that was the beginning. That was the beginning of our relationship. We were really quite good buddies.
So he was studying the same as you?
Yes, he came. He was also on the international program. And we were dorm mates. We were classmates. We were party mates. We were just hanging out together all the time. For 2 years, we were really good friends.
You know, some people have little problems, some have bigger problems. You know, when you're from two different cultural backgrounds, it can be quite scary. Was it scary for you?
No. For me personally, no, it's not. I'm the kind of person that I would jump first before I think. I would jump into the water first and then look around me afterwards to check if there's sharks, metaphorically. No, it's not. Life is not supposed to be easy. We were not born easy way. No, everybody's born the hard way. So personally, I think that's life. It's supposed to be hard. What matters more is how you accomplish your life, how you go about your life. But no, nothing. It was not difficult at all.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast.
The first day here, I was like, where the hell am I? It was snowy. It was dark. From Sarajevo to Banja Luka, we had to go around the mountains. I was like, oh my gosh, where am I? What have I gotten myself into? It was not really traumatic, but it was almost.
So you drive through the dark, through the snow, the sun comes up the next day, and?
I saw a lot of smokes. Smokes, literally all the houses were smoking. I was like, what are those? There's like chimneys. I'm like, you still use those here? And then my mother-in-law, father, none of them spoke English. Here I am, a pregnant woman from Micronesia. I didn't understand anything anybody was saying. You know how the Balkans talk. Like, it was at the beginning, it sounded so aggressive. And I was like, why are you guys fighting every day? I was like, no, we're not fighting. I was like, are you sure? Like, but then I laughed my way through it. The first year here, I just laughed my way through everything.
When did the language start to kick in, this aggressive, I don't know, I'll call it the former Serbo-Croatian. Watch the comments that come in when I said that. But yeah, when did that kick in?
I also call it Serbo-Croatian. When people ask me, do you speak Serbian? I was like, yes, I do. What else do you speak? I speak Serbian, I speak Croatian, I speak Bosnian, I speak whatever language you want to call it, but I speak Serbo-Croatian. Yes, I do. My mother-in-law actually, to be honest, she taught me my Serbian. She, every day, she was like, I remember when I was a couple of months after arriving, we were sitting in the living room, she was knitting some clothes, and I was lying down, and then we just started counting away. She would say jedan, and I said jedan, dva, dva, and I would repeat after her. And I went after just repeating everything she said. And then whenever she, if she dropped something, she goes like, "Ya bem timate." And I would say, "Ya bem timate." And then she would turn around and was like, "Chut, chut." So, like, I actually repeated everything that everybody said. And then in our house, everybody curses. I think that's a normal thing here in the Balkans. Everybody just cursing away, like, whatever. "Ya bem ti državo, ya bem ti ovo, ya bem ti ovo." And I say it along with them. I don't curse at all. Like, I was raised in a very strict family. I don't curse at all. But as soon as I come here, I guess it's just a part of the language. So the first thing I learned were all the curses, every single curses that you can come into mind. I ask a lot of questions. What is that word? Why? Why do you call it this? Where does the word come from? Like, you know, I'm just naturally curious.
When you bring up children, and you said you came from like a background where you don't curse, do you protect them from that, or have you just said you've just got to know it because you're going to grow up in the environment?
My boys, they don't curse at all. They know. I tell them what is bad, what I expect in my house. First of all, I tell them it's my house. I lay down the rules. That's it. There's no cursing in my house. I mean, they're still young. They hear it every day, but then they will say, they would run to me and they would say, "Okay, Mama, 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 Baba said this." Mama said, "Okay, they said it, but that doesn't mean you can say it." So they know, like, right at this age, they're almost 8 years old.
Are they trilingual?
They know Serbian perfectly. They understand English very well. They understand English. They speak English, but they don't know my Micronesian. They don't know any Micronesian language, which is sad. If you ask them, if they were here, and if you ask them where they're from, they'll tell you they're Micronesian.
Yeah.
had the boys, the language is getting sorted out. What was the next step after that? Was it, I've got to look for a job, or was it, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mum? What happened next?
The plan was going back to China. That was the plan. We'll go back to China, because during this time, China was stepping up in the world, economy-wise. Everything was so perfect in China. And finding a job there was also very easy for us, because we learned the language, and we lived there for 3 years. But then we moved back, and then my husband was working in MTEL. And this time, MTEL was still at its high point. Like, it was the pay was okay, you know. So I was, okay, let's, when the boys grow up a little bit, okay, we'll probably move back. But then when the boys turned 2 years old, I was, okay, let's find a job. I can't just stay at home. I need to work something. And then I got pregnant again with my second pregnancy. Family's growing. Like, I want a big family. I came from a big family. Why not? I gave birth to my daughter, Catalaya, and then she went through a very difficult time after birth. Like, she contracted Staphylococcus aureus from the hospital, which is also a problem here. Our hospitals here are not very good sterile-wise. So she got sepsis, which entered into her marrows, and then for 4 years we were striving with her. So I couldn't. I was stuck in the home. I couldn't. She was very sick. Like, all of our daily lives were just around her. But then, sadly, she couldn't make it. She passed away in 2016.
Now, back in Micronesia, families would rally around to get to the... Same here?
Most of the family members, they came by and they were there. My girlfriends, they took me out of it. But that's one thing I wanted to share. In Micronesia, after, let's say, the death of a family member, the first thing you do is you sing for 40 days, 40 straight days. People would come every night. They would sing, pass out cookie breads and, you know, coffees and donuts, and they would just hang around and just sing. You know, that it's singing is a very it's a personal activity back home. Like, you just sing every time. We just sing in bad and good times. So here, after my daughter's burial, we came back home, and I took out my guitar and I started singing.
Now, that must have been a shock.
Everyone's like, you know, like, what's going on? I'm just like, oh, just drink coffee. And I just start singing away. And then people realize, no, this is good. You know, like, you just sing, and it's just a soothing process, I guess. And we were like, oh, okay, it's good.
Did they join in? Or did they just sit there shocked?
They were just sitting and listening, because I was singing Micronesian songs. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we were just singing away all night. And then that Akia came out, and it's like, and people are like, you know, it feels like we're partying. It's like, yes, we have to. We're celebrating her life.
This is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
We're sat in this restaurant, so how did it come that Sheila arrives here?
Yeah. One of my friends, her name is Dana. Dana, she's among the best artists in Banja Luka. Dana, she did the interior design, the paintings on the wall that you see here, all of the paintings around here. All the paintings around, she did all this painting. And while she was working here, I came out, I passed by. You know, okay, while you're working, let's hang out. Like, sure, why not? So I came and I looked, I was like, what are you working? What is this? And she said, oh, it's a restaurant. It's a new opening restaurant, healthy food restaurant. It's like, do you know the owners? Like, yeah, I know, I'm working for them right now. I'm painting their restaurant. Of course I know the owners. Call them up, ask them if they need worker.
You did what?
Yeah, I call the owners. If you know them, call them, ask them if they need workers. I would like to work in their restaurant. She called them up. She called Boris and Marina, and she told them, oh, I have my friend. Her name is Sheila. She's from Micronesia. And, of course, they don't know where that is. She's from Micronesia, and she's asking if you need workers. And as soon as they heard that, I have a darker complexion. They was like, oh, that would be really good. You know, so like, sure, why not? Next day, I went to interview, and then I started working with them.
This is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
Looking around here, it is super modern. It's super European. If I didn't see that the menu on the chalkboard was in Serbski, and if I didn't look out and see the obvious Banja Luka skyline of concrete, but it's amazing. Serving food that is quite, can I say, anti-Balkan? I mean, it's not meat-loaded for a start.
For one thing, we have no red meat in the restaurant. We only have chicken and turkey, and of course seafood. Those are the only meat. So a lot of people, when they come in here, they're like, you don't have meat? I was like, no, but we have sarma, meatless sarma.
Meatless sarma.
Meatless sarma, you can see on the board.
So Sarmageddon has actually come to Zen as well.
Yes, I guess we're still introducing, you know, like, it's not only meat that you need to eat. You have other dishes that can supplement all the nutrition that you need for your body, which are not only meat. We have tofu, not a lot of people in the Balkans know what tofu is. Our customers, when they come and they ask, what is tofu? We have tofu burger. You have a burger without meat? Yes, it's called tofu burger. And we have to explain to them what tofu is like. We have a lot of sweets that are also without eggs, with like they're veggie. Without eggs, milk, non-gluten. They're still adapting to it. And it's coming along, I would say, well. It's very, like, we're really getting a lot of good customers and good comments about our meals.
I was talking to the celebrity chef of Banja Luka, Predrag Tošić, about introducing new food. You know, somebody contacted me on YouTube and said, David, I'd like to open... He was from India, and he said, I'd like to come and open an Indian restaurant. I had to say, wouldn't plan on doing that in the next 5 years, because Predrag was telling me that people from Banja Luka and people from the wider Western Balkans are very, very reluctant to change.
Yes.
Having said that, when we came in here today to talk to you, you said, shall we go upstairs? And it was packed.
On our really good days, people are just waiting outside for seats.
You have lineup?
Yes, we have lineup. But and then we have people calling for reservations. Like, and then we'll say, okay, you can come in, but you have to wait for three seats. We have no free seats. Also, the good thing about this restaurant, we have a lot of kids who are allergic to gluten. We have non-gluten bread. We have non-gluten dishes. I would say we have a lot of things that people can get from us.
So you're working here. You're front of house, but there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, making all these super dishes. How did that sort of like, or did it not affect you to get to the place where I saw you on television? How the heck did you get on a celebrity cookery show on television?
One of my colleagues, she works in the kitchen. One of the cooks, she asked me one day, Sheila, would you like to go on Look Ilimed? That's the name of television. I'm like, sure, why not? I didn't even know what that was. Until 2 weeks later, I realized that's a television show. It's like, what the hell, are you crazy? I'm not going to go on television. And she's like, let's just go try it out. Oh, what the heck, let's go. Let's try it out, whatever. We actually just went on to have fun, to do something different. We didn't go for the money. I mean, Susanna, my colleague, she was like, yes, we went for the money. But I didn't went there. I just went to try something different.
What was the experience like? I mean, cooking at home, cooking in a restaurant is one thing. Doing preparation and all the rest with all your neighbors and everybody else looking at you, the stress must have been awful.
No. It's like, no, I was a born superstar. I'm kidding. that's nothing special. Like, it's just...
Well, it would be special to me if somebody said, will you go and look, Ilimed?
One morning, I was walking to work, actually, and right behind me was an older woman walking her dog. And I was walking, she was like, hey, Sine! I was like, and I was like, okay, someone talking to me? And I looked back and she was like, were you on Look, Ilimed? I was like, yeah, I was! And Banja Luka is small. It's a very small community. It's a very, very small city. Everybody knows everybody. Like, everybody watches the same. We don't have like a million of television shows. We just have alternative. It's quite logical that everybody here would see. And I guess not every day they see a Micronesian on their television. So it was not quite an experience, but it was okay. I laughed through it.
You've come halfway around the world with your husband, having met in China. Wow, that's an adventure. Then you come to a country where you don't understand the language, you get that right. That's another adventure. So now you've been a TV star. You work here in this restaurant. So what's next for Sheila?
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll go on that English cooking show you guys have there. What's it English, the cook's name? What's his name?
No, Gordon Ramsay. You're not going to go into Devil's Kitchen.
That would be quite an adventure. Imagine him cursing every single minute.
Ah, but you could curse back with a J word.
Oh, you. I'm kidding. Who knows? Like, I don't really look ahead. I mean, yes, I do. What's going to be tomorrow? But I don't plan. I don't plan anything, which can be, sounds stupid. Like, you know, like, you know, you have to plan. You have to make it, you know, like, but no, I don't plan anything. I don't plan anything.
But you are going to take the boys back home, as you said. What sort of preparation will you have to do? Because, you know, like when you arrived here in the snow and going, where have I come to? it could be a rerun in a way for them.
Yeah, luckily they go to the seaside every summer. The boys, they go to Montenegro to the seaside with their grandparents every summer. So I don't know. But they watch, you know, they're 8 years old. They go on YouTube by themselves and they go through all the tropical islands in Micronesia. And every time they see like darker skinned people on YouTube, they're like, is he Micronesian? Like, you know, like, is this how they look? Is this how they dress? And I was like, yes, they are. I've introduced to them actually the islands and how it looks like. The dance, especially the dances back home, like they would watch it and they were like, oh wow, like, I want to dance, I want to climb a tree, I want to do this. And it's like, okay, you will get a chance. They're actually excited about it. They're excited about going to Micronesia. And I was like, don't worry, mommy's working on it. we will go.
It's been really cool talking to you today. I think you're quite a brave woman to have done this. Go back 20 years to Micronesia. Where you are today must have been the furthest from your wildest dreams.
Oh, I mean, I'm in Bosnia. It's like just halfway around the world. I never saw myself coming to Europe. I always wanted to go to Greece, though. Since fifth grade, I was always, you know what, I want to go to Greece. I want to see the Parthenon. I want to see everything. I want to go to Athens, Sparta, all that. Bosnia, it's not that far. So I guess to see myself in Bosnia 20 years ago, no.
When you think of the future, and I know that you said that you live for today and you compartmentalize everything and, you know, life is and everything else. If you could have one dream, what would it be?
I don't know. I just dream for good life for my children. That's it. I'm not saying that the life right now it's bad, but a better life, a better community, that they don't go through the bad things that I went through. For myself, I don't dream about myself anything. I'm okay. How am I? I'm okay. I don't complain about my life. but just for a better life for my children.
The truly adventurous story of Sheila Savanovic, a girl from the island of Yap in Micronesia who now lives a world away in Banja Luka, Bosnia and Herzegovina. Thanks for letting me drop into your world. And for more stories from the Western Balkans, why not subscribe to the podcast through your favourite podcast player, whether that's Acast, Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, or even YouTube. Until next time, please stay safe.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.